So we're going to continue our series. You know, when the Holy Spirit starts doing his thing, hey, you guys sounded beautiful, man. It was awesome to sit up here in this section up in front, and then you could hear all the voices from the people singing, and it was moving. So I'm always open for what the Holy Spirit does. He just cuts into my time. And but I guess it's God's church, and he can do what he wants to do. So we're going to get somewhat of an abbreviated, we'll see how it goes. I know there's nothing going on this afternoon with anybody, so we got all the time in the world. Because the Raiders aren't in the game, so who cares anyway. But I just want you to know I am an Atlanta Falcon for the day. Yeah, but although my money's on New England. I don't bet. Let's jump in. We're starting our new series. It's called Limitless. And we're going to talk about four aspects that God gives us unlimited of himself. Faith and wisdom, grace and love. And so this week we're going to be looking at faith. And God lavishes these gifts on us without measure in the totality of them. But how they are implemented in our lives is we are given enough faith, and that's what we're going to be focusing on today. You are given enough faith to deal with today. You don't need a bunch of faith for 6 weeks from now. You don't need faith for what's already happened in your life, except in the sense of faith that God can do something with that and make it good. So in that sense, yes. But we need faith, and God gives you enough faith to deal with today. And those of us in recovery of any kind, we know that we live in whatever area of life that we struggle in. We live either successfully or unsuccessfully one day at a time. That's all we have. That's all we get. You know, the enemy of faith isn't doubt. Doubt is a part of faith. Doubting that something is actually going to happen, can God do something with this? Doubt actually is in the arena of faith. I'm struggling with my faith. God has no problem with that. In fact, you will struggle in faith because how you think things should go. One of the biggest things you're going to learn in Christianity is how you think things should go, you're pretty much off. And that's on a regular basis. God's got his way of taking us and dealing with us. But again, he gives us faith one day at a time. The opposite of faith is fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. Because fear paints a picture for us of an outcome that is not based on reality. It's based on our own projection in our own mind. You know, and faith is difficult because there are some days when I have tremendous faith. I have mountain-moving faith. Nothing can rock my faith. And there are other days where I hardly have enough faith to get out of bed. And I struggle with what's going on. So faith is a daily thing, you guys. Don't ever buy into some kind of concept that faith is just something out there. Faith is practical. And faith, Scripture tells us, has to be worked. Because I have to take sometimes that faith that I have in God, that he's got something, that he's working out something, and I have to jam it into what I'm dealing with that day. Whether it's something out there or whether it's something in here, I have to take that faith and push it into that and determine to stand on that. You know, in Romans 1:17, we're told this, for the gospel, in the gospel, in the good news, there is one righteousness that you and I need to hold on to. It says, a righteousness from God is revealed. So what God considers to be righteous, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. If someone were to look at the textbook of your life, each page is written in faith. Now, some of that you don't understand because God was faithful to you. And there are many of us in here that shouldn't be here today. But God has been faithful to you. And now he's got to teach us to stay in his faithfulness, to trust in his faithfulness as we progress. It's one thing to look back and say, oh, God was faithful. It's another thing to be in a place today and go, oh, God is faithful. And you know what happens when we, you know what faith in the future is called? Anxiety. If you're anxiety, you're putting faith in some kind of an outcome you think is going to take place in the future where it probably won't. So your faith needs to be anchored in now. In fact, Hebrews 11:1 tells us this. It says, now faith. If you were to title this message, that's what I would title it, now faith. What kind of faith do you need? Now faith. You need now faith. You need present faith. He says, now, faith is being sure of what we hope for, being sure of what I believe God wants, being sure of the promises of God, and certain that His promises will take place in my life, though I don't see them, though I do not see them. See, because once something is realized in your life, you don't have to exercise faith or hope anymore. They're there. That's why when we get to heaven, we won't operate so much in faith because we'll be present there. We won't operate in the hope of things because we'll be in it. We will see things so radically different. But we need that in the now. Faith is where I learn to handle my life and my actions now. Because now is all I ever have. I don't have tomorrow. I won't have tomorrow till tomorrow. I don't have yesterday. I don't have it. I need to learn from it and I need to walk through stuff. But that's only done now. So, we sometimes make an error in our faith. Do you know you can get lazy in faith? It tells us in Hebrews 6:12, we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those people who chapter 11 was talking about, are great in faith, though they didn't inherit everything on this earth that they had hoped for. He says, listen, we don't want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. You can become lazy. How many have ever gotten lazy in patience? What is patience? Waiting a long time with a good attitude. Waiting a long time with a bad attitude, you know what that's called? Depression. I'm waiting, it'll never get better. I'm waiting, God. You know, you're not attractive in that arena, you know? Have you ever met a Christian? Come follow me, my life's miserable. And I get depression. I get that there can be things going on. I'm not that guy. I believe in medication. I believe in medicine. I believe God has allowed us to have those things to help us. I believe that the brain can not operate just like any other organ in your body cannot operate properly. Sometimes there's Christians that believe the brain is some kind of a different organ. And yet, we'll go to the doctor for a heart attack, or we'll go to the doctor for diabetes, and we'll go to the doctor for these other issues, but when it comes to the brain, just pray it out. Really? I'm going to say that to the next person that has a broken leg. No, don't go. The doctors pray it out. And that's that rant. Look it. We have to be patient in faith because the timing, we don't get to choose. We don't get to choose how things roll out, when they roll out, how they roll out. There is so much. So we're told in James 5:7, be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. How long do I need to be patient? All the way up till the Lord's coming. Think about that. If that's what it takes, that's what it takes. He says, look at, see how the farmer, and he gives them an analogy. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop. You're much more valuable than the land. He's got a crop that he wants to produce in us. And how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. He couldn't even water his, a lot of the farming in those communities, they didn't have irrigation. They depended simply on the rain. And how many know that you don't hurry rain? You know, our state didn't even think it would rain again. And then when it did, we had no place to put the water. So what do? We shipped it back to the ocean. Because we're smart. You too, he says, be patient and stand firm in that. because the Lord's coming is near. Yeah. How near is that? I don't know. Because God's near and my near, they're not near each other. They are just not. Listen, 1 John 2:8, John tells us this. He says, and now, dear children, continue in him. Continue to be in Christ. Continue to have your faith there while all this other stuff. How do I do that? One day at a time. One day at a time. He says, continue in him, so what? So that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. What does that mean? See, if I don't stay in him one day at a time and stay in faith in that, what I tend to do is I get tired of waiting. You know, one of the fruit of the Spirit is called long-suffering. You know what long-suffering means? It means suffering a long time. Jesus did it with you. He still suffers with you and me. Goes, Joe, how many times around that ring around the rosy thing are you going to do? I don't know, Lord. Well, he suffers with me in doing it. He says, you imitate me. But he says, some of us, when we do see the Lord, will be ashamed. Why? Because we'll have gotten tired of waiting for God to do it his way, and we shortcut. We pick up our own way of doing it. We try to go this way or that way, and we try to make a shortcut. There's only, you know, one, you can never shortcut God. It's never shorter. It's never shorter to go around God's way, but it will always cut you. It will always cut you. And so he says, what will happen is, he says, some of God's kids, he's writing to God's kids here. It's not about their salvation. He says some of them will be in the midst of that stuff, trying to get their shortcut, trying to do their thing, when the Lord comes. It's like, feeling ashamed. Oh, why didn't I wait? It's like Chris shared. Some of us keep quitting in waiting on God. And waiting also requires obedience. Doing what God would have you do in the day you're living in. Not in 6 years from now. Not reminiscing about what happened 25 years ago and living in that day. Some of us live in those days. I've talked to people where they talked about issues in their life like they happened like 5 hours ago. It is fresh to them. And it hasn't happened in 20 years. Why? Because they never dealt with it. So it's alive in them. And it's still affecting them. That's why God wants us to deal with things. So we get free of them, because those things take up space in us. And it's only through God's faith in God and doing it his way. Because I'll tell you what, there's a lot of things God's way that I'm not a big fan of. And we're going to see one here right now. We're going to jump right into Luke. Here's an example. Jesus told his disciples one day, so he gathered these guys around, and he says, hey, I'm going to do some teaching here, and you're going to have to operate by faith into doing this. Because anything God asks you to do, it requires faith on your part to do it. And faith simply is trusting him, like, really? That way? Well, I don't know about that. How many have ever tried God's way, and after a little bit into it, you know what? It was a nice try, and we'll go back to my way. He said, Jesus said to his disciples, things that cause people to stumble are bound to come. You're going to stumble because the things that make you stumble are bound to come. Bound means they're on their way. They're bounding toward you. And they're going to make you stumble. He says, but woe to anyone through whom they come. The one that bounds to you and causes trouble. He says, there's a price to pay for that. That person's got a price to pay for that. They're not part of that. They're not helping the cause. He says, it would be better for them to be thrown in the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones, and that's what God considers us. You may be wearing adult clothes, but you're still a little one, to stumble. So watch yourselves. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them, and if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you 7 times in a day and 7 times come back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. He says, even if they do it a lot, but yet they come back and say, you know what? Because repentance is simply this. It's first a change of mind. You're heading in a direction. You're doing something. And then you go, you know what? I don't want to do that no more. And then it's a change of mind followed by a change of direction. I don't want to head this way anymore. I want to head a different way. That's what repentance means. So he says, listen, if someone is messing with you, and it can even be yourself, and they're messing with you, and they're walking in that, and they go, I don't want to do that anymore. And they repent and come back to you. He says, forgive them. Drop the case. Drop the case. Here's what his apostle said to that. Increase our faith. Don't buy that at all. We don't buy that. You mean you're going to judge people that cause people to stumble? Well, then we're in a world of hurt here. And then we have to forgive everyone. Why? Because they grew up in a culture. They were not religious clergy in the sense of being Jewish, but they were Jewish in their faith. And in their faith, they were taught an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That there is recompense to be done when someone does you wrong. Not only that, but if you were to steal somebody's cow, you had to give them two cows. You had to go above and beyond to make it right. And then Jesus comes along to his guys and says, hey, I'm going to tell you a new thing to do. Because anytime Jesus tells you a new thing to do, that's a faith requirement. And most of the time it will go against you. And I'll tell you what, for Christians, forgiveness is probably one of the biggest deals we have to deal with. We have to forgive those in our past. That's one of the reasons we don't like to look at our past, because it was painful. We don't want to go there. And we think it doesn't affect our lives when it affects every aspect of our lives. And he says, I want you to forgive them so you don't carry that in you. And I will deal with them, and you'll have that space in your soul freed up so you can put something else in it. But as long as you're holding on to that, you can't hold on to anything else. And not only that, that unforgiveness is going to stumble people around you, because it's going to be vomited out on them. That sickness you're holding, thinking it's a good thing, is going to come out, and you will stumble people. They will have to pay for things that they didn't do. It filters everything you're looking at and how you deal. He goes, I'm trying to help you here. And they said, increase our faith. Why? Because they don't get it. You don't get what you don't get till you get it. That's why it's called faith. We trust God enough to do it his way, though I can't put my finger on how it's all going to roll out. But he says, listen, just like the farmer gets a valuable crop at the end of the sowing and fixing the ground and waiting on the rains, and then the crop comes. God tells us, I got promises for you. They're going to happen. But you've got to trust and do it my way. How do I have to do it your way? Just for today. All you have to do is for today. And see, this apostle said, whoa, what you're asking us here, increase our faith. We cannot wrap our heads around that. That doesn't even make any sense to us. You mean they're going to get away with it? Because no, they're not going to get away with it. I'll deal with them, but you're the one I'm trying to help. That'd be like going into the doctor's with some, you know, big chunk of metal sticking out of your head. And all you're concerned about is the person that helped through it. He goes, you know what? I'll deal with them. Let me get it out of your head. No! I want you to get them. Yeah, but you'll be way better off if I get that out of your head. I'm not getting it out of here. Do they pay? I'm going to keep this here till they get a spike in their head. Exactly. We laugh. Ooh, that's what I do about everything. God's trying to help us. He wants to help us. So what did Jesus say to him? In verse 6, he says this. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree. So there obviously was a mulberry tree right there where they were talking. He says, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Well, a mulberry tree is a big tree. It grows anywhere in height from 35 feet to 65 feet. It has massive branches, and it has a root system that is very extensive. In fact, the Jewish rabbis used to say it would take 600 years to pull up all the roots in a mulberry tree. Jesus tells these guys, listen, I'm not asking you to do any big thing. I'm asking you, if you have this much faith in what I say, and you apply it right where you're at, you'll start chopping down that tree. One root at a time. Because all of us in here, we got roots in us. Don't ever buy that thing that I just start talking. Because, you know, I'm going to tell this mulberry tree on this mountain, I'm going to move out of my life. And it's going to move. Move! Move! And you notice that it don't move. I always say, but how's that working for you? It ain't working for you. That's not what he meant. He meant a small bit of seed of something else in you will remove a little bit of what's already been planted there. And it will be progressive. How often we got to do it? Just a day at a time. Just a day at a time. Forgive them today. Yeah, but what if they sin against me tomorrow? Forgive them tomorrow. I'm just talking about today. Because we like to project that out. Well, what's like Peter said to Jesus. Well, let's do a mathematical equation here, Lord. I'm going to project this out into the future. Now, how do I got to feel, you know, 7 times 7? 7 times 70? What's the big deal here? When can I not forgive them anymore and then start kicking them in the face? What is the length? Because that's the way we like to figure it out. Because that's what we do. We put limits on our faith. And God says, I know that. So let me limit it for you. One day. Then we'll worry about tomorrow. And that includes yourself. And then Jesus goes on to tell him this, which is kind of weird. In verse 7, he says, suppose one of you has a servant. So he's giving him an analogy here, and he's speaking of a master and a servant. And in their day and age, slavery was a big deal, so it would even be beyond that to where you actually own somebody. He says, suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Someone's doing some chores for you out there in the field, out in your farm. Will he say to the servant when he comes into the field, come along now and sit down to eat with me. Won't he rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink? After that, you may eat and drink. He goes, does he tell the guy after he's done his work, this servant of his, that come on in, sit down with me at the table and hang out with me as a master to master? He goes, no, he's not going to tell him that. He's his servant. He will give him other servant things to do. He's paying this guy to do that stuff. Some of us have a problem with that. Look at it as employer-employee. When you're an employer and your employees, do they go, oh, I came to work today. Where are we going to lunch, employer? I'm going to hang out with you in the boardroom because I'm that guy. No, 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 dude, we hired you. You got a job to do. And then he says, so then Jesus goes on to say that. He says, will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? Maybe. Maybe he's a nice guy and he thanks him, but maybe not. He says, so you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, this is in the context of just what he told them to do in the first couple verses, don't stumble people through your unforgiveness. He said, listen, I'm the master. You're my servant. I'm telling you this is what you need to do. I'm not asking you. I'm telling you that it's beneficial for you. It's your job as the relationship we have to one another is master-servant. He says, listen, this is what you should say. We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. See, that's mind-blowing to many of us because we think if we obey Jesus in some way, I'm heroic. Look how wonderful I am. I forgave people. I accept this Academy Award for offering forgiveness to people, and I'd like to thank the perpetrators for this opportunity that I can do. We think we need some magnificent accolades. Jesus said, hey, listen. And he's talking to his apostles, the A-team. That's what gives us hope. This is his A-team. He goes, whoa, whoa, whoa. You guys got this whole thing. You act like you're doing me a favor to forgive them and to not stumble them because of the stuff you got going on in you. You're not doing me a favor. You're doing your duty. Now apply that to yourselves. When I do what God asked me to do, I'm not a hero. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And this is the beautiful thing. I only have to do it one day at a time. I don't have to trip on what that's going to look like in 6 years from now and how that's going to pan out in 4 months from now and what's going to happen if I do it his way. And gee, that doesn't make sense to me. And yada, yada, yada. He goes, whoa, 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 whoa. I'll talk to you because I love you. And you are my family and we can have communication. But don't misunderstand that when I tell you to do something, it's supposed to be done. Forgiveness is a big deal. You keeping it all that unforgiveness in here and blaming for where you're at now because of what happened. He goes, that hurts you. I'm giving you these things to do to help you. And when you refuse to do it, one, you're disobeying, and two, you're calling me stupid. You're saying, I don't know what I'm doing. Same thing he said to Job. He goes, hey, Job. The same thing he says to me. He's kind. See, he's faithful to you. He doesn't go, hey, Job, I understand. You've been around so long. You know all about human behavior. I'm so lucky you're on my team. Now we can really win. Thank you for your input. Let me tell the Father and the Holy Spirit, I'll invite you in the next meeting. But that's the way we act, don't we? God's way is, oh, I don't know about that. I see it all the time, guys and girls living together. You know, well, hey, this is the way we do it in our day and age. Well, God didn't say that was the way to do it. Yeah, but God doesn't live in the 2000s. He doesn't know. I see us make a lot of different idols. Man, I wish Christians would quit making the government our idol. Trump ain't going to fix you. Neither is anybody else. They're going to come and go. They are going to come and go. His word is for you, and you will reap a harvest from him. In Mark 22, Jesus is speaking to his guys again and gals, and he says this, have faith in God. Trust God's way. In what? In what he says. He says, truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, it will do it. He says, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. He'll move the mountains in your life. How? One rock at a time. Don't be in fantasy land. Maturity is a process. God does not bypass it. Your gifts are without repentance, but you want to use your gifts best? Mature. And that's why it takes a long time. What if the farmer went out there and saw a corn plant? It just broke the ground. Harvest time! It would be fruitless. So listen, he says this. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer. See, whatever you ask for in prayer, and it's usually a mountain. When we're praying about something, it's some kind of mountain in our lives. Or a mulberry tree. It's something that's complicated, that's got issues. We pray about it. He says, listen, if you pray about it, I'm going to answer your prayer. And we're going to start the process of dealing with that mountain or dealing with that mulberry tree. We're going to get to the roots. We're going to move the rocks. That's where works comes in. Faith without works is dead. There's the do part in the faith part. And like I said to you, we only have to do this one day at a time. It's a manageable dose. That's why Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Why? Because you're weary and heavy laden because your brain is all over the place. You're tripping on the future. You're anxietied out about the past. You don't know what's going to happen. He goes, listen, come to me, I'll give you rest. You only have to deal with one day. You only have to be yoked to me right now, and you'll be able to handle it because I'll give you enough faith. Although my supply is limitless, I'll give you enough to deal in the increment you can deal with. And I keep asking you to deal with it today. You do today, you've done good. And so, He says, and when you stand praying, if you hold, again, he goes right back to forgiveness. He must think it's a big deal. He says, and when you stand praying, if you hold anyone anything against anyone, oh, God, I'm praying about this and that, and then God brings in somebody. Well, what about this person? Yeah, God, back to what I'm praying about. And if you'd smite them, that would be good too. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. You know that God doesn't forgive us for not forgiving? He doesn't say, well, it's all right. He keeps hammering away. Well, what about this? What about that? You ever notice that when you got unforgiveness towards certain people and the kind of people they are, everywhere you go, oh my God, it's those kind of people. They're everywhere. No, it's you. You're the common denominator. So, listen. God wants you to walk by faith. Super important. But you only have to do it in small increments. You know, you're married. You're a man. Own being a good husband today. And ask God to give you the faith to be a good husband today. Yeah, but is in faith. Jesus never said, you know what, I want you to follow me in case, but unless you have a better idea, then go with that one. I'm throwing out a suggestion to you. And he never asked us to do anything he doesn't do. His duty was to come here and die on the cross to remove that which blocks us from God. He never wavered in it. And he had to do it by faith. He had to trust. He became a human. He gets it. And he gets that we get to live today. I need to take care of my body today. You just got to do it today. Like, well, we got yogurt the other night. Teresa, I begged her to go get it. I just got a thing. You know what it is? It's weird. I don't want to go in there because I feel feminine. Going in and getting a quart of yogurt. I don't know what that is, but men don't do it, I guess. It's a belief system I have. So anyways, I begged her to get it, and then, you know, she had a little bit, but I ate most of it. And then Saturday, this was Friday night, Saturday morning, I wake up, and, you know, because I was trying to live by faith that if I ate all that sugar, it wouldn't affect me in the morning. And it did, and then I was, you know, my eyes were all puffy, and it was hard to wake up, and sugar does that to you guys, in case you don't know. If you wonder, if, you know, let me tell you by faith, if you don't eat a bunch of sugar at night, you'll wake up easier. You know, some of you are going, that ain't true. Whoa, crazy talk. And, but anyways, last night, there was like, you know, that much left in the container, and I fought myself not to eat it, because I wanted to be awake today, And I didn't eat it. I kept walking, you know, I'm doing this message on faith, and I just got to say, you know, I had to walk in faith on that. You know, don't fulfill that little sweet tooth thing that I kicked into gear. And because once you kick something into gear, it's a lot more difficult to get it out of gear. And, you know, now all it's looking for is fuel. So we got to deal with that. So I didn't do it, so I'm very proud of myself. But boy, am I looking forward to that tonight. But then tonight I might have to exercise more faith and actually throw it out. And see, but I'm not sure if I have that amount of faith. Faith takes various forms, brothers and sisters. My thing dealing with faith today might not be yours. Something that I don't struggle with might be a huge struggle to you. That's why God working in each one of our lives, there are individual aspects as well as communal aspects. He says, the only way we can all get along is to forgive one another. Because if you can't forgive people, you will live an isolated life, which is against the dynamic, the natural way God made us. And you will pay a price. So how do we walk in faith? One day at a time. How do we do that? This is how we hold on to the promises that God has made. How long? Till they come about. What if they don't come about for many years? Hold on. Hold on. And operate one day at a time. Let me give you some promises so that you will know that your faith will be rewarded. Scripture tells us, walk in faith, and if you persevere in that, you will receive a rich reward. It'll be good. So let's take a look at some of those promises. To the humble, he said he'll exalt. The proud, he says, he will humble. It's a promise. I don't have to worry about proud people. God will humble them. It's not my job to get you to walk like I want you to walk. What a tough job that is. And how often does that succeed? Doesn't. The proud he will humble. To all that call on the name of the Lord, he will save. He has promised to do that. You call on his name, he will save you. To the lost, he said, he will find them. To the hurting, he said, he will help. He promises to do that. He has promised us a new beginning every day. He's promised if we hear his voice today, he will save us today. He will do the work today. He won't put you off. He has promised the sick he will comfort. He has promised the generous he will be generous to them. He has promised to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. He has promised to the compassionate that he will show them compassion in their time of desperation. He has promised to the repentant he will restore them. He has promised the weary and heavy burden that if you come to him, he'll give you rest. He promised that. He promised to show us a way out of temptation. He promised to help us to stand up under it and keep going. He's promised that if we confess our sins, he will forgive us. And he will cleanse us. He will wipe them off of us. You know, from God's perspective, sin is something that clings on to you. It's not you. He never called us sin. He called sin a thing that gets on us. We get in the dirt. He cleanses us. And he forgives us for running into it. To those who believe, he said, I'll never shame you. I will never shame you. What a breath of fresh air that is to a lot of people. He will never shame you in your mistakes. That shame might come from you, and it might come from others. It might come from the enemy, but it won't come from him. He has promised that he has overcome the world. He has overcome everything that can come against you. He has promised that nothing is too hard for him. Nothing is too hard for him. Nothing in your life is too hard for him to help you with. He has promised to not forget, to forget our sins. He doesn't have a lapse in his mind and go, I forgot to forget that one. I better bring it back up to you. He has promised that the moment we leave this body, we will be in his presence. He has promised that the devil cannot harm us. To those who love him, he has promised to bless our families for 1,000 generations. He has promised to hear all our prayers. He has promised to answer all our prayers according to his will for them and in them. He has promised that what is sown will be reaped. He has promised that what he starts in you, he will finish. He has promised that all things will work for good for his children. He has promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He has promised that he is even a shield about us. He has promised that his word is true, the Bible. He has promised that he is our great reward. No matter what reward you want, when you see him, it will be far greater than any other reward we want. It'll be our great reward. That relationship. He has promised that he will discipline us for our good, not for our harm. He has promised that he is preparing a place for us and that he will come and take us to be with him. He has promised to wipe every tear away. He has promised us a place where sin and death will no longer exist. He has promised us a joy unending. He has promised us a new heaven and a new earth, and that it would be a home of righteousness. See, you guys, you can't help the promises of God. You can't make them come about. You can't hurry the promises of God. And you cannot figure out how the promises will be fulfilled. But you can do this. You can believe the promises. You can depend on the promises. And God will give you the faith to wait on the promises. And you can do that by daily walking in faith in the midst of life, trusting God that all the promises He said that are yea and amen in Jesus, they will happen. You will experience them. When, how, where? That's not our business. That's His business. You've got to hold on to that. So when God asks you to forgive, you are simply doing your duty because He got a promise attached to that. He will heal us. He will restore us. He will use it. Instead of a place of shame, like that's why we hide the wounds of our life, because we're ashamed of them. He says He will bring them out, He will heal them, and then He'll use that scar as a blessing to others. I was wounded, but now it's a scar in my life. And then you begin to wear it as part of your journey. And God uses it to help others. See, you don't hide a scar. Well, sometimes we do. We have a bad one. But even then, it's an indicator of something that happened. It's not fresh and oozing, and it doesn't hurt to touch it. That's how you know something's not resolved or healed in our life. Because if it gets touched, it's like a bleeding wound. And we tend to hide it because we think it won't bleed on anybody, it won't affect anybody, when it's affecting everything in your life and it's taking up a lot of energy. God says, bring it out. Let me see it. Let me see it. Forgive them for that. Let go of holding on to that and let me bring healing in that. And you'll be okay. Yeah, but I don't know if that'll work. Trust me. Just today, trust me. I'm going to give you enough faith to trust today. Know this, you guys. Every promise He has made, He will keep. You just have to live it out today. Trust today. Can we all trust today? Maybe there's somebody in here that hasn't even trusted Jesus with their life. See, God's amazing. He wants our life, but He deals with us a day at a time. You know, but that's the way we do life. I married Therese, but I deal with my marriage one day at a time. I get the marriage I get today. If I'm a jerk today, then guess what? It's going to be a hard day. Some of us don't, you know, we've been jerks a long time, and we wonder why does this marriage suck so much? Just live one day. How about we stand up? Is there anybody that you know, I know this is hard, and some of us have a lot of preconceived ideas about God, but, you know, I'm asking you for a second. Jesus said this, if you hear my voice today, today is the day I want to heal you. The word save in the New Testament is sozo. It's a Greek word that means heal. Do you know from God's perspective, we are far more sick and in need of healing than we are bad. We do bad things because we're sick. As God heals us, we do less bad things because why? We're getting healthy. That's how it works. So the first thing God wants to heal is the relationship between God and us. Why? He forgives us from walking away from it. And He says, turn around and come back. That's all He's asking us to do. I took on all that you should reap from that. I took on that. This is a crazy thing about God. He says, however far you've walked, If you walk towards me, I will receive you, and then I will work on all that stuff you got messed up in walking in your ways. I will lead you on how to do that, and I will bring healing to you, and that healing in you will bring healing to everyone that comes in relationship with you. It's a good plan. It's a good plan. And I can do it, he says. After all, I'm God. I formed you. And when you get deformed, I reform you. When you get dirty, I clean you. And then I have something for you to do. And then, you know, then your job is to walk in that. And that doing starts in here first, one day at a time. Just do what I'm supposed to do one day at a time. Anybody need that today that's never ever said that and they want that? They're just tired of living life their own way. They are so far out there. They've walked so far out there. I can't even see with the lights. But I'm going to trust there's somebody. Can you raise your hand, jump up and down, and say, that person next to me? All right, brother. Anybody else? Okay, cool. God bless you guys. All right, let's just pray. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I'm going to do a group prayer here. We're going to do a faith prayer, and we're going to just say we have faith in Jesus. So, dear Jesus, thank you for coming to earth, taking away my sin so that I can live with God. Now I ask you, God, you know how far I've wandered. You know how dirty I've gotten. You know how my thinking gets distorted. You know how my actions cause problems. You know how I'm motivated inside. You know the wounds of my life. You know the hopes of my heart. I choose today to walk in trust, to have faith in you, in what you're speaking to me to do today. And I'm going to do it. But I need your faith. And we come like the apostles when they said to you, give us greater faith to accomplish what you want in our lives. And when I do this, I'm not going to have the attitude of a hero. I'm going to keep the attitude of a servant who's doing what I'm supposed to do. And I trust you with the harvest, with the good that you promised will come from my obedience. No matter how long it takes, all the way up to your coming back. But I hope a lot of it comes sooner. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name. God bless you guys. Have a great day.